Game Time is supported by South Dakota Career and Technical Student Organizations. Learn more at sdctso.org.
Coming up on Game Time, we're in the final month of the season, and there are still several unbeaten teams. We'll talk about those teams and what they need to do to finish as strong as they started. Plus, we've got more game changers who's been lighting it up across the state. And we'll get to all the top tilts in the coming week. Coming up next on Game Time.
All right, another week of Game Time here on SDPB. It's going to be a fun one today. I'm Nate Weck, joined as always by Jason Andera. And yeah, as you said, we are now in the final month of the regular season. This is really where we start to see that push towards the finish line. And as you mentioned, we're going to be talking about the undefeated teams. And we've got some headlines to go over too, but yeah, there's still quite a few undefeated teams.
It's always interesting to see how deep in the season before teams, you know, stay undefeated. And does that add any layers to their season? The teams will tell you no, but, you know, we're going to do our best to jinx them, I guess. We'll see. Sorry about that, by the way, in advance.
Well, let's first start with some of the headlines. One thing that did happen last week that we do want to go back and rehash was a new member of high school basketball jumped into the top 10 all-time scoring list on the boys' side, and that was senior guard Marvin Richard III out of Pine Ridge. What a career he's had, and now he's officially etched into that top 10.
Yeah, he has been a very prolific scorer his entire career. This year he's already gone over 30 points in a game 7 different times, and he just makes it look easy. And it doesn't matter whether he's playing tough competition or some of the easier teams, he's finding a way to score. And, you know, he's not, you know, Matthew Moore's size here.
Right.
This is a guy that can come in and create his own shot anywhere on the court, and he can keep up with anybody. I think that's what's going to make him so dangerous at the next level going to USD next year. But this top 10 list is pretty impressive. It's going to be a few more games before he can catch number one, but I'll tell you what, there's some spots he could move up the rung here.
Yeah, I don't know if King Louie will ever be caught, but yeah, you got guys like you mentioned, Matthew Moores is on this list. You got Connor Libus, right? I mean, there's
and those guys were playing, you know, in their middle school years.
Right, and then you got, you know, Joe Seiler, you got, you know, Josh Mueller, right? So, I mean, these are some names that are very pronounced and really define greatness in South Dakota, and to see Marvin Richard III go on this list, it's always fun, right? It's always fun when we see somebody new jump onto this list, and yeah, getting to see it kind of in real time with Marvin Richard, what a treat.
Yeah, congratulations to Marvin, and he's not done yet.
No, absolutely not. Well, let's get to some of the other headlines we've got. Ashlyn Copel, she had a big announcement took place this week. Jandy, why don't you tell us about
she
it?
She is continuing to just amaze people. She's averaging about 30 points, 15 rebounds per game, and she got nominated to be one of the only 24 players in the nation to be on the McDonald's High School All-America game. It's going to take place ahead of the NCAA Women's Final Four in Phoenix. So a few days before that, on March 31st, 24 of the best players throughout the nation are going to get there and play. And she is one of those players. Huge accomplishment for her. Only 6 players from the Big Ten got to go to this. She's one of them who's going to be heading to Nebraska to play next year. Just some amazing numbers. Career numbers over 2,000 points, over 1,500 rebounds, and over 3,400 blocks in her career. So, again, another tremendous career getting acknowledged this week.
Absolutely. And I believe she's in the top 15 all time for on the girls' side for scoring. So, yeah, we just talked about Marvin Richard being in the top 10. Well, here's Ashlyn Copel.
A couple 2,300 point scorers. You don't see that every year. That's for sure.
And I'll actually be in Wagner this Thursday to watch the Andy Central Dakota Christian game against Wagner. It'll be fun being going to catch up with Ashlyn before the game and her parents and that kind of thing too. So we'll sit down and we'll have a story on that, you know, to come at a later date. But yeah, really excited for that. So if you see me down in Wagner this Thursday, come say hi.
Yeah, do it. Definitely.
All right. Couple of the other things that we wanted to mention. A couple new coaches just got put onto this 500 career win list. Yeah. Bill Vincent up in Sioux Valley. Let's start with him.
A lot of milestones happening here. And Bill Vincent, you know, he's done such a great job of defining Sioux Valley as a basketball school. year in, year out. You know what style you're going to get with him. He's not afraid to shoot threes. He's not afraid to let his team run up and down the court and throw down monster dunks, but it all equals wins. He's getting to the state tournament on a consistent basis, and now 500 career wins. Congratulations to Bill.
And then Brad Poppy out of Avon, the girls' coach there, a couple weeks ago, he had his 500th career win too. He's been in the state tournament, I believe, a dozen times too. Yeah. I mean, talk about, you know, these coaches, you know, they're not just racking up the wins, they're putting the state tournament appearances on that resume too and having consistent success.
And to do it in a Class B school, I think, is even harder because you have fewer athletes coming out every year. You don't have a great class every year, but they have consistently winning teams. And Brad has done that for Avon throughout the years, including his daughter who played for him several years ago, and some of the really good teams he had over the last couple of years. You just know you're going to get a quality game every time you line up against Coach Poppy.
All right. Any other headlines we got to talk about?
Yeah, let's talk about a few big things that happened in the state. One of those that really grabbed my attention was over the weekend, T Area gave a real scare to Lincoln, and they did it by almost beating them. Lincoln kept them at arm's length, but head coach Luke Hanneman said they really did a good job of being dynamic and challenging the team with different sized scorers. And he felt like that was one of the things they haven't seen a lot this year, is what T did to them. And it came down to the final minutes, and Lincoln found a way to fend them off, stay unbeaten so they could stay in this show. We could talk about the unbeaten teams. But it just shows you how tough Class AA is this year. And if Lincoln does that, wow, it's going to be an amazing feat for them if they can get through this year unscathed.
You know, so not to talk too much about Lincoln, because I know we're going to talk a little bit more when we get to the talking about the undefeated teams. But when you have a close game like that and you do come out on top, there's obviously corrections and things like that you're going to go over from what didn't go so well. You know, what kind of conversations do you think, you know, are taking place inside that locker room through that?
Coach Hanneman, he said, I'm going to put a little bit of this on my shoulders. We weren't ready as far as being able to face this type of team. Plus, they were coming off of two straight games where Sam DeGroat gave them 30-plus points. And then this game, he was not shut down. He still scored 16, but the focus was more on him, and they weren't ready to make that pivot. The other guys weren't ready to shoot. So they did get the win. You know, we're not talking about this like it's a disappointment, right, but they got the win, and they move on. But that's the kind of stuff they're going to have to look at moving forward, because there's going to be more challenges on the schedule.
Well, and one thing we do like to do every week, Jandy, that kind of makes this show fun, is we call it the Game Changers. We go through and highlight some of the prolific performances that took place here over the past week. Some of these names are going to be familiar once again. But, yeah, let's go through these. Who did you like for this week?
Well, there was a couple big-time performances. One of them was Brant Wassener from Sioux Falls Christian. Last Thursday, goes for 28 against Dakota Valley, and then comes out on the weekend, scores another 22 against Clark Ola Lake, and then another big game Tuesday against Canton. Thielen Kerstad's getting used to this list. He put up a 27-point game and a 30-point game last week. Gavin Shaw had that 26-point game against Lincoln, almost got the victory, but that was huge for them to get that output from him. How about Grant Wilkinson, another 25-rebound game, Nate, and the it doesn't get old talking about guys that hit the boards like that.
No, and when you talk about Grant Wilkinson, you know, I always think, you know, man, this kid could make a really great college basketball player, but, you know, he's going to play football.
He's going to play football.
Which is awesome, too. But, yeah, 25 rebounds, to have more rebounds than points in a statistical output like that is just impressive.
Yeah, that's huge. Connor Mebius, kind of coming back off of his injury. He showed what he can do against Hamlin, one of the top teams in all of Class A. He scored 29 himself. Will Cool also went for 17 in that game. Rush O'Neill had a 27-point game against ACDC. We had Lincoln Anderson kind of show out against Del Rapids. He's really come on strong as this year has gone on. He can shoot from the outside. Had a 29-point game against Mobridge Pollock. Brady Jewett at a Tri-Valley, a 27-point game. Trey Hansen consistently on this list. Vermilion destroyed Groton. That was a huge win for them, and he got a lot of it due to what he put up, that 27-point game. Tatum Sorensen went for 30. That's a huge game for him. Also 15 rebounds, 4 assists. And on a young team, this Dakota Valley is a really young team. They depend on the senior, Tatum Sorensen, and he has done a lot for them this year. Sam DeGroat, we mentioned his last two games were 30-point games, went for another 16-point game on Saturday. And Bryson Bruning out of Parkston, a 27-point game last Saturday.
And then we've got the girl side of the game changers as well. You know, speak of the devil, let's just start with Ashlyn Copel.
Every single game of hers belongs on the game changers list. And a triple-double with 28 points, 12 rebounds, 10 blocks. She also had a handful of assists and steals in that game. And then Tuesday night played against Hanson, another huge effort for the Wagner senior. How about Drew Turkelson, though? Look at that. Look at that number. On,
yeah, 48 points.
And she did it rebounding as well.
Yeah, that's incredible. 12 steals, too. Are you kidding me?
I mean, she's creating her own hoops that way, obviously.
Absolutely. And those are the types of performances that are truly special. And it's we've been fortunate to see a few of these this year. But that, I don't know if, you know, triple-double when it comes to points, rebounds, and steals, that's pretty rare.
That's crazy. How about Kaylee Kreidick out of Sioux Valley? On last Thursday night, a 19.14 rebound game. She's headed to USD to play her college basketball and, you know, doesn't always light it up on the scoreboards, but this is the kind of performance that she is capable of putting together.
Yeah, and this just kind of goes to show, too, you know, this it's the type of effort, you know, especially on that defensive side, that's what college coaches look for. Those are the things that when you're able to contribute on both sides of the ball, that's what gets noticed.
Morgan Shepherd nearly had a triple-double, 18 points, 10 rebounds, 7 blocks against a good Dubrook team to lead Flandreau to a win. Leslie Stetzer went in this weekend and look at that, 22 points, 12 rebounds in a big win for them over Sioux Valley. Payson O'Neill, a 28-point game, 5-rebound game on Monday night. Jalen Huntemer went in for another 27-point, 13-rebound game. And Harper Andera, yes, my cousin's kid, is on there. Let's throw it in there. 27-point game and a 22-point game back-to-back nights for Garrettson, getting a win against Esteline Hendricks in that big 27-point performance.
All right. Plenty of great performances. Again, we encourage you to let us know because, you know, the stat system in South Dakota, it's not completely consistent across the board. So there is stuff that does go under the radar. So please reach out to us because we do love seeing all of these great performances week by week.
And interestingly enough, that's one thing they're talking about at the SDHSA meetings, is AA meetings, is how to get stats more easily reportable. But we depend on you guys out there. This is complete team effort when it comes to finding these numbers.
All right. And one thing we do have to mention here too quick before we get into the unbeaten conversation, we mentioned it last week, but that is South Dakota's own Gray Zabel playing in the Super Bowl, a first-round pick out of North Dakota State, played under Coach Steve Steele and Peer, was a part of some really great runs there with the Governor's football team. And yeah, tune in on NBC this weekend because it's going to be a phenomenal Super Bowl between the Seattle Seahawks, New England Patriots. And yeah, South Dakota's own is going to be playing guard.
Who do you think is going to win, Nate?
If I had to guess, I would say Seattle by about 10 points. What about you?
I think Seattle's a better team as well. I hate it that I'm usually wrong when I pick Super Bowl games, but we'll be definitely pulling for the Zabels in this case. But I think Seattle wins it as well by a couple of touchdowns.
All right. Well, there you go. Now you have the predictions there.
Go to the bank.
They can bash us next week on
it. Yeah, exactly.
All right, so the unbeatens, you know, we're going to start on the girls' side with AA with Brandon Valley. And again, we're not trying to jinx anybody here. We are trying to give compliments to an uplift about how some of these great teams have been undefeated to this point, and we just think it deserves a little bit of some extra attention.
It does. You've made it into February. You're still unbeaten. We're going to give you a couple flowers, even though we know the goal has not been met.
All right, let's start with the Brandon Valley Lynx on the girls' side.
Well, this is a team that easily could have had a loss the first game of the year. Took on the defending state champs in O'Gorman. They really set the tone with a big win on their first game. Their leading scorer, Olivia Padgett, has been crazy this year. She put 40 against O'Gorman and since then has been averaging close to 30. And then some games they haven't needed her really as much. So, you know, she'll get, you know, points in 12, 15, 16 points, and it drags her average down. But she's definitely the type of player that can give you the consistent production that you need to be an undefeated type of team. They've had some good wins this year.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, you talked about the O'Gorman one. Then they also, you know, beat a good Aberdeen Central team in a pretty impressive way.
Yeah, they took them down by, you know, 33 points just a week or so ago. They also beat Crofton, a school they're bigger than, but it's a really good Nebraska school known for girls basketball. So they've had some good wins, but they've got some tests remaining.
Yeah, they've got Rapid City Stevens left on the calendar. Sioux Falls, Washington against, you know, the Jamie Parrish teams. They're always good. And then, then they've got Marshall on February 13th.
Yeah, Marshall could be their toughest game out of those three. I think they're all going to be tough. But having two of those games here in the next 7 days against Stevens and Washington, we'll see how they do with a couple tough games in a row.
All right. And then on the Class A side for girls, we got to start with Makpialuta because Matt Rama's done a tremendous job with that team. We saw the massive leap. You know, they've always been good, and they've been in that state tournament, and then they take that big-time jump last year. And now this year, it seems like it's been cranked up maybe another notch again. You know, what can you say about that team?
Well, you're right. The evolution of this team is getting better and better. Now they're at a level that really makes them dangerous because they got through the LNI to start the season. So just like Brandon Valley started the season on the right foot, and they didn't have a problem beating some good teams, including Lakota Tech back in December. And then they took on Bennett County, a team that was pretty much the full-fledged number one vote for everybody in Class B.
Right.
And they took them down 80-35, Nate. This wasn't even close.
Yeah, that was a game where we thought for sure, we're like, oh, this, you know, the top team, top preseason team in A versus the top preseason team in B. This has got all the writings on the wall for an instant classic. And Makpialuta just handled them from start to finish in that game.
That's when we knew this was a serious team. They did have a rematch with Lakota Tech, and Lakota Tech played them much better the second time around. They played Lennox at the Hanson Classic again, a game where they weren't able just to do exactly what they wanted to, but they still got a double-digit win against a really good Lennox team. And Rapid City Christian on Tuesday night had another tough game against them. So this is a team that's played a tough schedule, a much tougher schedule than they were used to playing.
Yeah, and I give them a ton of credit for that too, because this type of schedule is going to set it up where when you get to the state tournament and you start playing in that semifinal night potentially, or even, you know, if they get back to the championship, you know, now they've got some of these other tight games under their belt against some very quality opponents, and that just helps improve teams.
I think it's going to help a lot. Their real only test left on the calendar is St. Thomas More. A team that, by paper, they look better than right now, but that's really the toughest test they have in the rest of the regular season.
All right, and then we got Coleman Egan on the girls' side. You know, Coach Josh Flatten has done a great job with that team as well. What else can you tell us about Coleman Egan?
Yeah, they haven't had quite the quality of schedule as some of these other undefeated teams, but when you go up a class, beat a ranked team in West Central, that's when we kind of started taking them seriously. I started boosting them up in my rankings a little bit. But they've got a lot of big tests remaining, and that's going to be the difference here. What I like about them is the way they play together. Brindley Landis is definitely an all-stater, but Joe Flatten, just a freshman, hitting big shots from the outside, has been a great complimentary piece. And then the entire team, you have different players step up and score every night. But these tests that they have in the next couple of weeks, they're at Freeman, they play Dubrook, a team that made it to state last year, and then they've got Chester on the road, another highly ranked team in Class B. It's going to be tough for them to stay undefeated.
Yeah, and then you look at the distance between Chester and Colby. It's not very far away, so it'll make a great atmosphere for that one here in a few weeks. And then Lyman, obviously, too. We got to talk about Lyman. This is a team that you've been pretty high on, you know, since the start of the season, and they've done a very nice job to this point.
Yeah, Cody Vollmer retook the job over as head coach, and I think he's got everybody pulling the same direction now. Jordan Scott has gotten another year more mature and been able to pick up a big part of the scoring that Max Scott used to have to take on her own. So you've got Mac and Jordan. Either one of the two could burn you on any given night. And it started with them really putting them on the radar when they got that win in the Corn Palace.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you know, those types of settings, right? You know, we talked about that when we were doing some of the classic shows. But having the opportunity to play in some of those classics and those big venues where you kind of get that, you know, state tournament feel, you know, that all adds to the experience too for a lot of these teams. So to get that experience for Lyman, I think is just fantastic.
Took out Mitchell, a double A team, won at the Hanson Classic, you know, took out Freeman on January 24th in a big way. Those were really impressive wins for them. But again, they've got tough games coming up. And just this week, they still have Hymer Herald, who's had a really quality season. And their biggest test of the year is coming up on Saturday. They play the number one ranked team in Class 4A in Iowa in Bishop Heelan. This might be the end of their winning streak. But trust me, I think almost any school in South Dakota would end their winning streak playing against Bishop Heelan. Maybe it'll surprise us, but that's going to be extremely tough.
And Heelan's out of Sioux City, right?
Right.
Yep. So, I mean, that's it's one of those closer matchups, too, for both teams where – and you add the Pentagon to it. It's another one of those examples of what I think makes just a great atmosphere. It's going to be a really exciting matchup to see how they handle that.
Even if they stumble in one of the, or two of those games, I still think this is a type of team that can make a deep push into March.
All right. Well, let's jump over to the boys' side, and we'll just start with Lincoln out of the gate. I know we talked about Lincoln here a little bit already, but coming into the season, everybody was very high on the Lincoln Patriot boys, and they have, you talked about the scare they had with T area, but they have done a lot of really impressive things this season that – There's no doubt that they are a scary team for everybody in AA, yeah. And they're kind of that team with the target on their back.
I mean, everybody was high on them for sure. You have all-state type players mm-hmm. coming back, Sam Erickson, Sam DeGroat, Brody Schaefer. But they lost two of their other key players who transferred over to Roosevelt. There was a lot of questions. And Brody Neuer has come up and been outstanding in that support role in filling out their five. And I think they could go to their bench. Their five guys that come in off the bench could hang with almost any team in the state. That's how good and deep this Lincoln team is. And, they did have that scare against T area, which reminds people, this isn't easy going through double A mm-hmm. and getting these wins. They've already taken down Harrisburg.
Yep.
They crushed Roosevelt. And I think this is a team they literally could go undefeated. Of course, I thought that last year, and then they slipped up against Mitchell twice. But I think this is the type of team that could do it this year.
Yeah, very, very good Patriots team. We might be talking about one of the, the best of the decade here.
It is. And, Sam DeGroat, Sam Erickson, both going on to play at Augie. Brody Schaefer, still a junior, but he's going to be playing quarterback at SDSU in a couple of years. Some real high-end talent on that team.
All right. And then we have to talk about the West Central boys as well. I know they had a close game against Clark, a week or so ago, a Clark Willow Lake. And this West Central team, since Dave Hollenbeck got there, I personally thought it was going to take a little bit of time for things to kind of shift into place. But this West Central team from the start has been hitting the ground running.
I remember back when football season was ending, you came up to me and said, "Hey, look who Max Preps ranked as the number one team in South Dakota." And I said, "Well, maybe at the end of the year, but not at the beginning." But boy, they have looked the part. And Will Cool, the progression he's made from a solid big man to a guy that can take over games, go outside mm-hmm. and shoot, take the ball inside and shoot. And Connor Mebius, maybe the best point guard we have in this state right now, and that's mm-hmm. saying a lot. There's a lot of really good point guards, Gavin Shaw, Brody Schaefer, a lot of these other guys. But Connor Mebius is right up there with them.
Yeah, and we're not just blowing smoke about Connor Mebius either. Go talk to some of the other coaches in the state that are in Class A or even, B or Double A, and they'll tell you the same thing about Connor Mebius.
Yeah.
So it the hype is real for him. He's a legit player, and he absolutely makes that team way better.
And to make a Dave Hollenbeck team, they had Mebius and Cool last year.
Mm-hmm, they did.
But he's got everybody bought into the defensive end, and Hayden Heyer and Boshi Knight, all these guys have bought in to their roles on the defensive side, and it makes a difference because they are shutting teams down on the defensive side. They had a tough game earlier this year against Sioux Falls Christian, won on the road, like you said, Clark Willow Lake, mm-hmm. found a way to win. But I think the next time they see either one of those two teams, I think the gap is going to shrink a little bit, and they're going to have to play a really good game in order to stay undefeated.
All right. Well, we're certainly going to be here for it, right, Jandy?
You bet we will. That's what we do.
All right. And then obviously, Class B, we don't have any undefeated teams that are remaining.
In fact, they're all two-loss teams.
Right. Let's just take a quick moment just with Class B. How competitive is this thing going to be down the stretch?
No, there's no clear-cut number one. Vibert Hurley started out strong. They've dropped a couple of games. Castlewood started out as their preseason number one. They dropped a couple of games. DeSmet started out strong. They've dropped a couple of games. I don't know. I think it's still yet to be determined. I think some of the teams we were talking about that are still working their way in, the Walls, the Freemans, the Westington Springs, there's probably others I'm not mentioning, still have a wide open lane to play their best ball and to make a deep run.
Well, as they say, Aberdeen is the place to be in March, right?
That is what they say.
And it kind of looks like the hype is leading that way for another great state tournament this year. Some of the top tilts for the week. We always end the show with some of the key matchups coming up here over the next week. We call it the top tilts. Jandy, what do you like?
Well, Thursday night, we've got a doubleheader girls and boys game between Parkson and Sanborn Central Woonsocket. I think the girls' side, we're looking at two title contenders going at it. And on the boys' side, you know, those are two teams we didn't mention that have a chance to really push themselves into the conversation. There's also another game, Highmore Herald and Lyman, the two teams we talked about. Lyman is a chance to go undefeated. This will be one of their biggest hurdles. Friday, Huron taking on Spearfish. Spearfish took that loss last week. They bounced back well, so we'll see how they bounce back against a really quality opponent in Huron. Dubrook and Hamlin, O'Gorman and Stevens on the girls' side. We've got Stevens with a tough test all weekend, playing O'Gorman one night and then Brandon Valley the very next night. So those will be tough. You see on Saturday at the Pentagon, four of the five games we have listed here will be at the Pentagon at the Heritage Classic. Those should all be awesome. And then Tuesday always features some great matchups. Brandon Valley, Washington girls. Washington's ready for a bigger test. This is going to be the test, the litmus test, to see where they're at. And then Mitchell and Aberdeen Central, two teams kind of under the radar that want to be included in that top elite group. They're going to be going at it. And then Vermilion, Dakota Valley, St. Thomas More, Macfialuta, and Harrisburg T Area, another real key matchup. T Area, by the way, their only losses this year are to the top three teams. You know, we're talking about Huron, Roosevelt, and Lincoln.
Yep.
So, I mean, they could be a really good team down the stretch.
And they just pushed, you know, Lincoln to the limits.
Yeah.
So this is a team that I think everyone should be taking seriously as well on the south part of the Sioux Empire. So another great show. These were the undefeateds for the week. We'll be back next week.
I got one more note about next week, though. We're gonna feature some of the top dunks across the state.
Yes!
So, you know, the NBA dunk contest is coming up, so we always like to give our little tip of the cap. So if you know of any dunks, send me the links. Find a way to get us that information, because I've got a bunch that I've found, but there might be a couple I'm missing.
All right. Well, I want to thank everybody once again for joining us. This has been Game Time on SDPB. I'm Nate Weck. He's Jason Andero. We'll see you next week.